I am especially grateful to be here this evening. My special gratitude to Yash and Avanti, Vedanta, Nirvana, and Sloka for making these extraordinary arrangements for about 2,500 pilgrims to come to their auspicious home to hear and chant about Krishna. Let us sincerely offer our gratitude. It's to arrange a program like this in this case. It takes a tremendous amount of love and affection and hard work also. Let us express our appreciation by loudly chanting Hari Bol. I'm also grateful to all of you for coming this evening. And to my very old lifelong friend who I just met for the first time about a year and a half ago, Shyamdas Ji Prabhu. How do I call a person a lifelong friend, one of my oldest friends, when I just met him about a year ago? Should I explain? For those of you who may have read the book, The Journey Home, about my travels in India, and especially my time in Vrindavan, due to my visa expiring, I left Vrindavan around the spring of 1972. And just a few months later, Shyamdas Ji came to Vrindavan in 1972. And when I was there, Asim Krishna Prabhu and myself were the only white people in all of Braj Bhumi. And after I left, Asim Krishna Prabhu and Shyamdas Ji were the only white people in all of Braj Bhumi. And he was very close with Neem Karoli Baba, Sripad Baba, he knew Ganshan Baba, he was very close with Ramesh Baba, Anandamayi Ma, practically all the people that Srila Prabhupada. So we all knew the same people. And I was always hearing about him from some distance away, and perhaps he may have heard something about me. We so when we actually Shyamdas Ji took Diksha in the line of Sri Ballabhacharya in the Pushti Marg, and he became a very renowned Sanskrit scholar in the Brijbhash language. He's one of the most highly esteemed scholars and practitioners in his sampradaya, loved by Brijabasis. He lived in Gokul and Jatipur from 1972 till today. And in the West, among Vaishnavas, he's the most famous kirtan singer to the general public and to the yoga community. So when we met, it was almost like we'd lived our lives together all those years, although we had just met. Would you say? It's almost like we have one heart in two bodies. So it is really my special honor to have him with us today. Let us very enthusiastically and tumultuously loudly welcome him by saying Hari Bol. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. Where devotees gather together to hear and chant and to share devotional service according to the higher principle of pleasing Krishna. Krishna manifests himself there especially. Relationships are the greatest source of happiness within Brahma's creation, but they could also be the greatest cause of pain and suffering within Brahma's creation. Because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabu Noi Saravanari Sudhi Chiti Koriya Yudhoi. Because love for Krishna is dormant within the heart of every living being. It is our nature, it is our essence. These material bodies, Vasamsi Jirnani Yathavihaya, they're like sets of clothes that we wear for some time, and very soon, in relation to eternity, very soon we have to give up this dress. But we are the Atma, the eternal soul. And the soul is seeking pleasure. Anandamayo byashat. We're looking for it in people, in physical and mental experiences, in things. But it's never enough, and it never lasts. We all have this in common because it is our nature to love God. And the principle of bhakti is based on a personal relationship with the Absolute Truth. There are different spiritual paths which approach different aspects of the absolute truth. For some, the goal is to free ourselves from the samsara of material suffering and enter into a state of everlasting peace. For others, to attain siddhis or supernatural powers by which we can control material energy to some extent. But on the pure path of bhakti, prema is the goal. To have an active, dynamic relationship with the Absolute Truth, with Krishna. That is the ultimate fulfillment of the heart's greatest need. And when that is established, and we learn to harmonize our relationships with things, experiences, and especially people, then those relationships become intimate and beyond the vulnerability of the ever-changing mind, senses, and the world around us. Because we're looking for love, we can only find love in this world with people. You can't really have a relationship of love with a thing. People reciprocate. And therefore, those relationships, when frustrated, they can cause the greatest of all suffering. Music in the West is mostly about frustrated relationships of love. Probably for every song about happy love, there's 50 songs about pain in love, frustrated love. Would you agree?
Too much.
He said too much. Thank you. We don't hear much songs about how I crash my car and I have the blues, or, you know, I lost my insurance policy, because it doesn't go so deep in the heart. But when there's a loving relationship and that's frustrated, that goes so deep in the heart. It pains so much. And what to do about it? There's more suicides based on that than any other reasons. So bhakti, or real dharma, Sanatan Dharma, teaches us to focus on the higher principle. The higher principle essentially is paradukkha-dukkhi. That another person's suffering is my suffering, and another person's happiness is my happiness. The principle of compassion. Real compassion is ahoitiki apratihata. It is without selfish motives. It is without the ahankar, the ego. Where there is selfish, egoistic motivation, I become the center of the universe. What pleases me is good, and what doesn't please me is not good. But the problem with that situation is there will be so many conditions we're confronted with that are just beyond our control. We can neither control people, nor can we control destiny, nor can we control the weather or the economy. We have just a little bit of control. But where there's no selfishness, there is nothing that could possibly break the inner joy and happiness of our relationship with God. And when that higher principle is established, it cannot disturb our relationships with each other. Real spiritual relationships, much chitamat gata prana bodhyanta parasparam, are when we harmonize our differences in our lives on a higher principle. The principle of dharma. The principle of prema. What should we do for God's pleasure? Not what we should do for my pleasure. And the apparent contradiction, this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we relinquish our desire for personal pleasure, we spontaneously, automatically experience the highest pleasure. The gopis of Sri Vrindavan, it is explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, their lives, their souls, their body, their minds, their words, their everything is how to make Krishna happy. If Krishna has a headache, they're willing to give the dust of their feet, even if it means they suffer hellish consequences for billions and billions of years. If it relieves Krishna's headache for one moment, it's their greatest pleasure. Suffering is a relative conception. Everything is based on our perception. Sometimes when a mother loves a child, even if the mother is going through great difficulties to care for the child, it may be strenuous on the mind, strenuous on the body, bothersome to the senses. She feels happy because she's making the child happy. That happiness is greater than enjoying the child. It's happiness of the heart. So for gopis, doesn't matter what happens. My life is for Krishna. And they experience the Mahabhav, the highest love, and the highest ananda, or ecstasy, paramananda, because their love is completely selfless with Krishna in the center. Now, in the world today, there is so much conflict among individuals, among races, among communities, among nations, among religions, among different interpretations of the same religion, among different interpretations of people of the same religion with the same interpretations. Just last night, Shyamdasji and I were talking, and we were expressing how when there's secular politics, it's just based on superficial ego. It's very relative. But when there's politics within religion, it's the most dangerous thing. Because our differences are now no longer just relative differences that we may have in ideologies, but they take on an absolute perspective. Our ego considers my way is right. I am representing the divine, the absolute. And if there's another opinion that it is antagonistic, is a confrontation to God, the absolute. So what extremes in the name of religion can people hate each other? Can people disagree with each other? Can people even kill each other? So some people who really care about society, they say we have to do away with religion if we want to have any hope of peace among human beings. And there is some insight in that. But unfortunately, it defeats the very purpose of life and brings everything to a completely superficial level where there's no possibility of real inner happiness. Or a spiritual person is not a person who is a Hindu or a Jain or a Parsi or a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist or an atheist or an agnostic or anything else. A truly spiritual person is one who is seeking the essence, not just caught up in the external rituals without understanding that those external rituals, the traditions, the language, and everything else we're doing in our spiritual path is only meant to bring us to reconnect with the essence. And what is the essence? Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshana. An actual learned person who has experienced that sara, that essence, sees a part of God in every living being. Whether they are Brahmins or Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras or Malechas or Yavanas, whether they're elephants or cows or dogs or insects. Srila Haridas Thakur was living in a cave and people were coming to his cave to have his darshan. He was speaking about the glories of Krishna's holy names. But their skin was burning and they were coughing. It seemed like it was so toxic in that cave in the middle of a forest on the bank of the Ganga. So they did for them investigation and they found out that there was a terribly venomous serpent living in the cave. So they told Haridas Thakur, you should move out and find another cave because this is very dangerous for you to live here. That snake can bite you. And we're just in the cave a few minutes every day and we're choking and dying and you're living here 24 hours a day. You should move. Haridas Thakur, he saw God within the heart of the snake. He said, personally, I love every living being. There's no, where there's love, spiritual love, there cannot be any fear. Fear is due to a lack of substance within our own hearts and our minds. Because a lack of satisfaction, a lack of love. When we understand the principle of love on the basis of the soul, the Atma, we understand our relationship with God, our relationship with other souls is forever. So what is there to fear? So Haridas Thakur, he smiled. He said, if it's disturbing you, out of compassion for you, I will leave if the snake does not leave by tomorrow. And right when he said that, the snake came out of a hole, gigantic snake. And out of respect and honor of Haridas Thakur, he left the cave and never came back. Now, it's not the snake understood the Bengali language of what he just heard, but the Paramatma, the Lord within the heart of that snake, directed him to leave out of love for Haridas. To see every living being with equal vision is only possible when we understand who we are. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. And understand that I am a part of Krishna. And every living being is a part of Krishna. And I cannot love Krishna without loving every living being who are his children, who are his parts, who are so dear to him. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. The Lord descends into this world again and again and again in so many ways because he loves us, because he cares about us. He's inviting us to come back. All of our suffering is due to the consequences of our own karmas. Krishna's trying, Sarvat Dharman Purit Yajnam Amekam Sharanam Vraja. Just offer your heart with affection, with love to Krishna, and all karma will be gone. And this world becomes the spiritual world. We see every leaf, every tree, every human being, every animal, every insect, every star in the sky, with every breath. We understand it's Krishna's energy. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. And we see every situation and everything in a way that it is an opportunity to reciprocate with Krishna's love. When Krishna descended into this world, he revealed the leelas, the pastimes of the spiritual world, were the highest, sweetest, most intimate exchanges of divine love are manifested. Now, why does he bring his devotees to this world? Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. He comes in the form of his name to reconnect us. But reconnect us to what? Krishna comes to this world to show his pastimes in order to convince us this is our real home. This is our heart's real aspiration. Shyamdasji Prabhu, he resides in Jatipur. He also resides in Gokul. I'd like to share briefly one beautiful story from the Srimad Bhagavatam taking place in Gokul. There is a place called Brahmandaghat on the bank of Yamuna. One day, Shukadev Goswami tells, Krishna was playing with his friends, the children of the gopas and the gopis, along with Balaramji. And after their play for some time, all these gopas, along with Balaram, they approached Yashoda Mai to lodge a complaint. Today, we witnessed Gopal eating dirt. Now, what could be more painful to a mother's heart than her child eating dirt? She was filled with anxiety. She took Krishna by the hand. Why did she take Krishna by the hand? Because she felt if she didn't, he would run away. She put Krishna, lifted him up, and with voice faltering, Gopal, why did you eat dirt? In your own house, am I not giving you butter and ghee, sweetmeats with ghee and sugar? I'm preparing throughout the day wonderful sweets and wonderful bhoga for you to eat. Why are you eating dirt? And you can't deny that you've eaten dirt, because all your friends are complaining. And even Balaram, who is your best friend and your own brother, he would never speak a lie against you. Gopal said, Mother, I never ate dirt. They are liars. Yashoda Mai, wow, what? Why would they lie? If Balaram says, I'm convinced you must have eaten dirt. According to Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami, Krishna responds, because today, all of these gopas, including Balaram, they stole sweetmeats from their houses, and they proudly brought them to the bank of the Yamuna and was telling how they stole them. And they were showing to each other and laughing and eating. And Gopal said, and I told them, you shouldn't steal from anybody's houses. This is not right. If you stole these sweetmeats, I'm not going to eat them. And I'm going to tell on you. So because they want to protect themselves, they're making this lie against me before I tell on them. Yashoda Mai said, I don't believe that. Balaram would never do that to you. And Krishna said, they are lying. If you don't believe me, you look in my mouth. Mother Yashoda said, then you open your mouth. Now our acharyas explain why Krishna lies. How is it possible? Krishna tells in Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate. He's the source of all material and spiritual worlds. There is no truth superior to him. Param Brahma Param Dhamma. He's the supreme Brahman. He's the absolute truth. How could the absolute truth tell a lie? Doesn't make sense. The absolute truth, in its full-fledged manifestation, is the Lord's reciprocation of love or prema with his devotees. So first of all, children, in order to not get in trouble, it's their nature to speak the needful. And Krishna was in the role of a little child. And he was hiding his aishwarya, his opulences, to facilitate and increase the relationship of intimacy with the love of his mother, his father, his friends, and especially the gopis and Sri Radhika. So by Krishna speaking this, it increased the parental love of his mother. Vatsalya Ras. Vatsalya Ras springs from prema. Prema is the unadulterated, intimate love of a devotee. That prema always resides within the heart of a devotee. But it arises due to the intrinsic affection of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is bhaktivatsal. So by Krishna saying, I did not eat the dirt, it was increasing Mother Yashoda's love. Therefore, it is the highest spiritual truth. Open your mouth. Let me see. Now, this was a very, very philosophically complex situation for Krishna. Because Krishna's playing the part of an ordinary child. He doesn't want to disturb his mother's love for him. But at the same time, he's so conquered by the love of his mother that he's afraid of her. And if he opens his mouth, she's going to see dirt inside of it. And he has to open his mouth. So when he opened his mouth, so she didn't notice the dirt, Krishna's yogamaya potency manifested the entire universe in his belly. Yashoda Mai looked in the mouth, which is this big. She saw all the planets of the universe, the entire solar system. All the mountains, all the oceans, all the demigods, all the human beings, all living entities. She saw the three modes of material nature. She saw the all-devouring power of time. She saw the three gunas. She saw everything. She even saw the whole of Gokula Vrindavan. With all the cows and all the gopas and all the gopis, she saw Nanda Maharaj. She saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth, inside his mouth. And she was thinking, everything is existing outside of him and everything is existing inside of him. Now, how big is the universe? Vamana Dev, when he wanted to cover the universe, he grew in such a gigantic size to do two steps. But Krishna's mouth remained the same. And yet, it contained everything within our universe. That is Krishna. Achintya Shakti. Inconceivable potencies. If someone doesn't believe that, just look around and see what Krishna has created. His inconceivable potencies. Krishna can do anything. He can put elephants through eyes of needles. He can put entire universes within his mouth without even stretching his mouth. That is our Gopal. Yashoda Mai was seeing this, but she couldn't conceive of her child as anything but her child. She was perplexed. She thought, am I dreaming? No, because my eyes are wide open. I'm not dreaming. Or is the demigods creating some illusion over me? Not possible. Why would the demigods put an illusion over an insignificant little gopi like me? Is my son endowed with mystic cities? Because Garga Muni, he said that my son was very powerful and he was equal to Lord Narayan. Is this the reason? But then she was thinking, but when he's hungry, he cries until I feed him. And when he's thirsty, he cries until I give him something to drink, milk from my own breast. And he's naughty. And he's very innocent. He can't be a supernatural person. So then she was so confused how to figure out what she was seeing in Krishna's mouth that ultimately she just began to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. That, oh Lord Narayan, she wasn't talking to Krishna, she was praying to the Lord in Vaikuntha. That you are the creator of everything that exists. Everything is inside of you, everything is outside of you. Please protect my child, Gopal. And she was in a very reverential mood in this way. And then she started to reflect, how am I in such an illusion? I'm thinking Nanda Maharaj is my husband. I'm thinking that all the cows and all the calves and all the bulls and all of Brajbhumi are mine because I'm the queen of Vrindavan. And I'm thinking Krishna is my son. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, everything's the property of Krishna. I'm not taking care of Krishna. I'm just an instrument of God to take care of Krishna. Krishna saw his mother in such a philosophical state. And he began to think, if she has all this gyan, all this knowledge about the absolute truth and God and the creation, then who's going to cuddle me? Who's going to embrace me? Who's going to cover me with her motherly kisses? I want this intimate love from my mother. Not all these philosophic shastric realizations. So thinking like this, with a gentle little smile, he increased Yashoda Mai's motherly love to such an extent that she completely forgot about what she saw in his mouth. And she put Krishna on her lap and embraced him and kissed him as her own ordinary little child. And Krishna was happy. Shukadeva Goswami explains herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Lord of all existence, is glorified in the three Vedas as Yajna Purusha, and the Upanishads as the Purusha, and the Sankhya philosophy as the Paramatma, the Yoga Sutras, he's the Paramatma. And in the Pancharatra, he's glorified as Bhagavan. That same absolute truth, Yashoda Mai is thinking, is just an ordinary, innocent, helpless child. A great Vaishnav poet wrote that some people worship the Mahabharata, the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Itihastas, but I worship Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, because the absolute truth, the Param Brahman, is crawling in their courtyard like an ordinary child, conquered by their love and conquering conquered by their love and conquering them with his love. This is the revelation of Sri Vrindavan. Shyamdas ji was singing that beautiful song. We actually learned it from the same person. Vrindavan is not just a place of sentimental people who just Jai Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. This calling out of the names of Radha and Krishna, according to our shastras, it's the culmination of all spiritual practices. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam apabhadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After many, many, many births of cultivating knowledge, ultimately, we surrender our hearts with love. And in doing so, Krishna reciprocates by drowning us in a bottomless, shoreless ocean of his love, of Sri Radha, his pleasure potency, Ahladini Shakti's love. Kalerato samide rajan asti heka mahanguna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. This age of Kali, where it's so difficult for anybody to get along, because the predominating influence of Kali Yuga is quarrel and hypocrisy. We have so much to quarrel about. Factually, within Kali Yuga, the illusory energy Maya, at any given moment, could give us unlimited reasons to disagree, unlimited reasons to have conflict. But there's one reason that is more powerful than all else, and that is what will please Krishna. The higher principle of Dharma, following the principles of Dharma through bhakti, is the means of accessing that transcendent love within our heart for Krishna and all living beings. And in this age of Kali, which is full of all sorts of reasons to suffer and to fight, There's one benediction. Krishna has descended in his holy names. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. And by actually focusing on pleasing Krishna through Sankirtan, through the congregational chanting of the holy names, and cultivating this devotional spirit of humility, forgiveness, and a real service attitude. We can't really chant the names from our heart unless we have humility and a genuine desire for a service attitude toward others. And by our great acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vallabhacharya, who they also call Mahaprabhu. These great personalities, they have come to this world to teach us this higher principle, which is accessed so easily by anyone and everyone by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Ten million times louder, please.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.